Thank you. Next, I'd like to invite Dr. Christine Dean, who is also the recipient of this year's ANS Trainee Award. She will be talking about short interfering RNA against BACS, attenuates auditory hair cell loss from electrode insertion trauma in vivo.
I'd like to first thank COSM and ANS for allowing me to present my research today. It's truly an honor to be here. And I'd also like to thank Dr. Bass and Dr. Van de Water for their amazing mentorship. I have no relationships to disclose, but Dr. Van de Water and Dr. Bass received partial salary support and research funding from the Med-El, and this study is supported by a grant from Med-El. Okay, short interfering RNAs are double-stranded RNA molecules that you can artificially introduce into the cytoplasm using various transfection agents. Once it's in the cytoplasm, it will bind to a ribosomal complex that will divide the sRNA in half and use it as a map to identify the complementary sequence on a target mRNA molecule. That mRNA is then divided in half and degraded by endonucleases, ultimately blocking the expression of a target gene. Tumor necrosis factor alpha is a cytokine released during various traumas to the inner ear. It can initiate apoptosis of auditory hair cells in part by increasing BACS expression. Elevated levels of BACS mRNA and BACS protein can cause depolarization of the mitochondria and caspase activation and apoptosis of auditory hair cells. This is a very simplified diagram of how apoptosis occurs in the inner ear. It's actually much more complex than this. We were able to demonstrate that short interfering RNA molecules can block BACS mRNA expression, BACS protein expression, ultimately block caspase activation and apoptosis and tumor necrosis factor alpha-initiated ototoxicity. However, this is a very controlled environment, and we wanted to see whether BACS RNA is capable of protecting in a more physiologic environment, such as electrode insertion trauma, where there are a variety of cytokines that are released, some that are pro-apoptotic, some that are pro-inflammatory, some that are even cell-protective. Our hypothesis is if we're able to block BACS mRNA and protein expression using a short interfering RNA, we can protect against electrode insertion trauma. We use an in vitro model where we dissect out whole cochlea from neonatal rats. We perform cochleostomies and monofilament insertions through the scala tympani, approximately 150 to 180 degrees around the cochlea three times to simulate electrode insertion trauma. We then carefully dissect out the organ of Corti and we divide them amongst five different groups. Control and BACS RNA receive cochleostomies only, and then divided between no treatment and our treatment, which is BACS RNA. Then the remaining receive an electrode insertion trauma and then divided between no treatment, scrambled sRNA, which is like a placebo, and BACS RNA, which is our treatment. We then culture them. We perform fluorescence studies to obtain viable hair cell counts, real-time PCR analyzer for BACS expression, and immunofluorescence studies for BACS localization. We use six organ of Corti per condition per experiment. What you see here are representative images of the basilar membrane at the junction of the middle and basal turn. They are Fitz Floyden stained, and what you see in the control and BACS sRNA groups are one row of inner hair cells, three row of outer hair cells, and intact stereocilia. These are live hair cells. However, when you look at the trauma groups, you see a loss of that pattern of hair cells as well as the number of viable hair cells, and these represent dying hair cells. However, when you treat with BACS RNA, you see a protection of that pattern of hair cells, protection of several hair cells, although that protection is not complete. When we count the number of viable hair cells, over 300 micromolars of the middle and basal turn, what we see is significant loss of total outer and inner hair cells in our trauma group. However, when we treat with BACS RNA, those levels increase significantly, but they do not increase to the levels of control. So at least at the concentrations that we are using, BACS RNA is not completely protective. We then measure the levels of BACS mRNA expression, and what we were able to find was that electrode insertion trauma increases BACS mRNA expression significantly. When you treat with BACS RNA, those levels decrease significantly, but they do not decrease down to the levels of control, and this is probably the reason why we don't get complete protection. We then measure BACS protein expression, and what we're able to find was that electrode insertion trauma increases the levels of BACS protein. But when we treat with BACS RNA, those levels decrease significantly, and they decrease down to the levels of control. Then we do our immunostaining studies. In the first row in green, you see the stereocilia that correlate to the inner and outer hair cells. In the second row in blue, you see the nuclei that correspond to those stereocilia and our hair cells. And the third row is a magnified view. In the control and Bax sRNA group, you do not see significant Bax expression or localization. However, in the R-trauma groups, you see conglomerates of intense pink and magenta in the cell bodies of the outer hair cells and the inner hair cells. These cells are undergoing apoptosis. However, when you treat with Bax sRNA, you see significant decrease in the expression of Bax, especially in the outer hair cells. However, you still have some staining of the inner hair cells, and that may be the reason why we don't have complete protection. Nonetheless, we were able to demonstrate that electrode insertion trauma initiates hair cell loss in part by increasing the expression of Bax. If we're able to block Bax mRNA and protein expression using a short interfering RNA, we can protect against electrode insertion trauma. That protection is not complete, and it could be for a number of reasons, and it may be that electrode insertion trauma increases the levels of Bax mRNA to a point that it overwhelms the inadequate and fixed concentrations that we're using. It may be that it is also activating different mechanisms of cell death that are Bax independent, for example, necrosis. We still have several studies to do. We do use an in vitro model, but this model is a very good model for studying molecular mechanisms. We will be performing in vivo studies in the future, but what I really want you to get away from this presentation is that we are capable of manipulating the expression of certain genes to achieve a certain outcome, and I think that in the future, we'll be seeing more and more of RNA interference in the context of treatment of genetic hearing loss, trauma, and ototoxicity. Thank you.
I want to congratulate you on a wonderful talk, great science, and on behalf of the ANS, the trainee award.